This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tass. And Macca, we're about to have a chat with Richard Keane from Living Positive
and
Victoria.
Richard's been in a couple of times before, haven't you?
I have.
Yeah. In fact, I think the first time was when you assumed the throne.
I was, yeah. About a year after I was president, I moved across into operations. Yeah. So I've kind of settled in now, and it's really great. The first year, you kind of fly by the seat of your pants and just get through that cycle of a first year. But after that, you start looking at things and how you can change and shift them.
Well, things are changing because I have heard on the grapevine that one of your long-standing staff members, the effervescent Max Niggle, has retired.
Yes, after what?
What, he's hit 65 or something, has he?
He's not 65.
Right. So.
has he got a senior's card?
No. I think that they'll be in the plan in the years ahead. Yeah, years.
Knowing Max, he'll have that well in hand.
I've just got to take an opportunity to publicly thank him, and yesterday's World AIDS Day events, as he has done that over a number of years, were just spectacular. And it was a real challenge for us. I couldn't get my head around the fact that he wasn't going to be there. He's a great confidant and a fantastic resource with all those years of experience, and he's always going to be a highly valued member of our
community. Max has always been incredibly generous with his time and his knowledge and his experience, and he's given very freely to the listeners of Saturday Magazine, and we will miss him, of course, and we will wish him all the best in his impending retirement. So I believe he's still got a couple of weeks to go.
He has got a couple of weeks while he's inducting his replacement.
Oh, he's waiting for his 65th birthday. That's what that's about.
You're going to be popular, Tess.
Now, Richard, tell us what is different about HIV now.
Well, there's a lot of things that are different now than they were even 10 years ago, with the biomedical interventions of PrEP and the evidence and the data around U equals U and treatment as prevention. It really has changed in so many ways. But underlying that, the thing that hasn't changed is HIV stigma and discrimination, and particularly internalised stigma upon receiving a HIV diagnosis, even in a climate where there's a lot of good news around HIV. It's always a challenging experience. It may not be life-threatening anymore, but it's certainly life-changing.
Mm. It's actually quite pleasing to hear that it has changed for the positive in some ways, but those old chestnuts still exist, don't they? So what have you got planned for World AIDS Day?
So a lot of our World AIDS Day events happened yesterday. We partner with the Doherty, Thorn Harbour Health and a whole range of other community organisations to have a big sector day. And the Minister for Health came along yesterday.
Jenny McCarcos?
Yeah, and it was absolutely wonderful to have her there, to hear her speak and to hear her acknowledge some of the challenges that still lie ahead in equity and access for all people living with HIV. Mm,
fantastic. So what else is planned tomorrow?
So tomorrow we're partners in the launch event at NGV. And also tomorrow afternoon...
The launch of events at NGV. So what's that event?
So that is the...
the Keith Haring exhibition.
Yes, absolutely it is. Yeah.
Okay. So is that a public event?
Yes, it is.
Anybody can turn up?
Yeah, and we'll have a couple of speakers talking about the lived experience of HIV and some collateral there. So come along and pick up some information about Living Positive Victoria and the work that we do. It's just a great synergy when we look back at the activism of that time. Just played such a pivotal role in changing minds and shifting messages out into the community, and we're really proud to be partners in that. But I'll be heading along to the memorial at the Positive Living Centre, which is run by Thorn Harbour Health every year. It's an event that I hold a great personal connection to. For me, I was diagnosed when I was 18, so the 30 years, September this year.
Wow.
And I look back at that time and I think of losing a partner during that period and a whole range of other things. And without having kind of an adult context to put that into. So for me, this is a really important event, which allows me to go along and feel like I'm in a safe space to reflect on that time, but to also kind of leave it there at the end of the memorial and put that grief and loss back into some perspective of where it needs to sit in my life, rather than it being omnipresent all the time, which can be a real challenge.
Richard, thank you for sharing your personal story there, because this is not just a job for you. This is also a commitment for you.
It is, yeah.
And it's also incredibly personal.
Yeah.
And I think it's great to actually hear about the lived experience of HIV, as well as the activities that are planned and the issues. But I actually do want to ask you to explore with us, what are the next set of challenges with HIV? Because for a lot of people now, a pill a day, you know, makes HIV go away.
Yeah.
And so whether you have HIV or whether you are trying to prevent yourself from getting HIV, and we also see that the organisations that we love have also dropped or changed their language. You know, we no longer have a Victorian AIDS Council, we now have a Thorn Harbour Health, and we don't have a people living with HIV AIDS anymore, we have a Living Positive Victoria. So the language has changed, but what are the key issues, or are there any key issues going ahead?
Certainly there is. There's been a huge shift in demographics. Most of the new diagnoses are happening in the Northwest Corridor of Victoria, and also...
Northwest Corridor, where's that?
So that's all the way out from Footscray, all the way out to Wyndham Vale, Werribee, that whole section, all the way out there, as particularly as the city spreads.
Wow.
And so there's a real challenge.
That's actually west, not north, though.
No, north, the Northwest Corridor, so it heads out.
Right.
So that's a real challenge for us to get into those spaces and ensure that those messages are available in multiple languages. We've seen a rise in both MSM and other community members of people who weren't born in Australia receiving HIV positive diagnosis. And then the other real issue is that there's kind of invisible communities that live in Melbourne that are living with HIV and require compassionate access to effective treatments and other things like that. So international students, people on working visas who are Medicare ineligible, if they receive a HIV diagnosis in Victoria, it's a really challenging experience for those people. And our concerns are that we've even heard coming back from those communities, people thinking, why should I test? If a HIV positive test may impact my ability to stay in this country and a whole range of other issues, and I may not be able to access effective treatments anyway. You know, the process for that is challenging. We really are thankful for the compassionate access supplied by pharmaceutical companies for those people, but it's a not a long-term solution. So as I go around World AIDS Day, I think about my privilege, how lucky I am to live in Melbourne, Victoria, and be an Australian citizen and have had uninterrupted, affordable access to the treatments that not only have given me a high quality of life, but a high expectancy of life, longevity as well. And there's some people living in our city right now who don't have access to those things.
It's so important to be grateful and acknowledge what we do have rather than always whinging about what we don't have or what we want.
Yeah.
So that's really encouraging to hear that, Richard. I want to ask you about the first challenge that you mentioned, which is the Northwest Corridor. Why? What's occurring in the Northwest Corridor?
It's been, I think it's a high migrant area. It's a high area for students living because the rents are a bit cheaper out that way as the city starts to expand out to the north and the west. We're seeing a lot of communities who are migrant communities and things sort of going out there as a need as far as being able to afford rentals and other things like that. Those communities are often isolated. We work really closely with the government and service providers to get more information into that area. But I think we're even going to start shifting some of our activities, like maybe have a Planet Positive next year in those communities further west.
Like in Werribee or Hoppers Crossing, perhaps.
Absolutely. And start looking about taking our services to where the epidemiological data is showing that we need to be.
I think that is astonishing because I think of when I worked in the HIV space in the 80s, 80s? Yeah, it was actually mid-80s. It's a long time ago. The demographics were between Brighton and Port Melbourne.
Yeah.
Yep. And, of course, it's now shifted to the other side of the city, into the north. That's extraordinary.
And when I talk to some of the diverse community members that I engage with, they talk about coming from really high-prevalence countries where HIV and AIDS is still epidemic proportions. And they say that they see a lack of messaging in our general media and public, and they kind of think like it's not really an issue they need to be worried about in Australia, that they're going to be safe here because there's not that constant messaging, there's not that constant engagement around behaviour and risk. So I think that that's something that we have to probably address too.
Does that, look, in a way, you know, Richard, it concerns me. You know, we spoke, I think it was last week, to Simon Ruth, about the high prevalence of STDs. And, you know, that people understand now around HIV much better. You know, undetectable, you know. But STDs that, you know, people seem to have thrown caution to the wind almost. Looks to me like, you know, there needs to be some work done in that area because, you know, it's a huge cost, huge personal cost for people, huge cost to the medical system, and it can have some really bad long-term effects on people, some of these diseases.
Yes, they can. It is a serious issue, but I have to say that we were kind of expecting a bit of a lift in STIs, particularly with the introduction of PrEP.
Yes, and STIs, yeah, I got to
Yeah,
stop.
And people...
not long-distance phone calls.
No.
People after what was, really, and I'm talking to two people that were around at this time, so you know how our condom culture developed as a response to HIV and really protecting our lives, you know, in some ways. But in other ways, it was quite an oppressive kind of model to have to live within. And I think with PrEP and particularly U equals U and other things like that, we've seen people moving away. So we were expecting a pretty sharp spike. That has started to level out a bit. It hasn't dropped, which is one of the concerns, but it has started to level out a bit. And let me just say, from personal experience from many years ago, if you end up with one or two STDs in a row, it certainly sharpens your resolve and shifts your behavioural practices, because it's not pleasant. And you are absolutely right, the ramifications of some STIs are absolutely significant on people's long-term life.
The old saying is, you know, they've got the clap, don't applaud it. You know?
I have no lived experience of STIs, so I'm that's a declaration that I've made publicly on there. There you go.
Hang on.
Richard, just as we wind up, so if any of our listeners wish to participate in any events tomorrow, could you just give us a sort of a where and when?
Okay, so I think we have the memorial beginning at 1:30. The doors open down there for a 2:30 start.
And where is where?
At the Positive Living Centre on Commercial
Road. Which is on
Road.
Commercial Road at and the old Braille Library.
Yeah, and
beautiful venue.
I've got to say, I've really just want to focus on this event, and I've talked about my personal connection to it before, but it's an absolutely amazing and unique community event that really is not only just reflective on the losses that we've had and things like that, but it acknowledges people who've passed away recently. And I know one of my peer navigators, Sarah, is going to be there tomorrow speaking, and she'll be talking about a person that she met at the Positive Living Centre. And we've had a number of young people, and again, this intersects into poverty, homelessness and other issues, who've actually taken their lives this year.
Yep.
And so she's going to particularly reflect on some of the complex issues that young person faced, and how our community might be able to think a little bit broader about just how we're doing well and extend that support to others. Yeah.
So there's the Living Positive event at the Braille Library.
Yes.
Anything else?
We've got the NGV launch, which is in the afternoon around the same time, I think around 2 p.m. Yeah. And we've got some speakers from our Positive Speakers Bureau. We were talking about Max before. Yes. And I think I should acknowledge
his absolute legacy.
Yes, and his replacement is David O'Keefe, who's also an amazing individual, who's got very strong community connections, and we're looking forward to seeing the work that he does. But again, I'd just like to finish by acknowledging Max and the amazing work.
Good on you, Niggle.
Richard, thank you for coming into the studio. It's always great to catch up. Best wishes for the season and the new year to you and to the people that you love and work with, and we look forward to having you back in the studio next year.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.